This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA. With your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Invin Global Esports reporter James Hogg is going to join me to discuss League of Legends' latest patch, 8.12, and how Marksman is faring after 8.11. Thanks for joining me, James.
Thanks for having me.
So, last patch, there was a lot done to ADs or AD carries. Do you think that it damaged that position?
Really all depends on how you want to view bot lane, I guess, because if you think about it, since early season 2 to season 3 and onwards, the meta was just defined as bot lane is, you know, the peeling support and the damage AD carry, right? And people have just accepted that and said bot lane should have these champions only until Riot made these recent ADC changes, and now new champions are sort of breaking into the bot lane meta. Champions like Aatrox, Aurelia, Yasuo, even like ADC Vladimir is making it into the meta right now. I don't even know, but in my opinion, it's a healthy change. Not every game you're expecting the 2v2 ADC support versus support. You're seeing a lot more diversity, which some people can view as healthy and some people can view it as very unhealthy and, hey, Riot, you need to change this, that kind of thing. But overall, I believe it's a healthy change, and I don't think it will stick around for too long because people are going to figure out counters to, you know, champions that do go to the bot lane, such as Aurelia and Yasuo, and maybe the ADC meta will come back. But, I mean, it's too early to tell, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Who do you think is a really good combo right now? Because you talked about Vladimir. I mean, is there going to be like a Yasuo Blitzcrank?
So Yasuo Blitzcrank works too. And another combo is you can pick pretty much any CC-oriented, like heavy engage bruiser, such as Aurelia's good, Jax is good, and you pair him up with Vladimir, right? Since Vladimir has such a weak early game, but he has such a strong level 4 to 6 and onwards all in, you just have someone beefy enough to take the CC for you and engage for you, and then you can just dish out all the damage. So that's a pretty nice combo there, too. And, you know, also you can switch it up and go in like Yasuo Aurelia, Jax Aurelia, Aatrox Aurelia, things like that.
Now, don't you think that it will still snowball? Granted that most range characters like Caitlyn, Jinx, they already have low health. So if you take a fighter to bottom, isn't it a bit of disadvantage or no?
Yeah, it's definitely a disadvantage from level 1 to level 2, depending obviously on which, you know, support you're up against or which ADC you're up against or which bruiser you are picking. But overall, champions, or more specifically bruisers, scale much more quickly than ADCs because of the previous patch nerfs. So champions like Yasuo, Aurelia, Jax, Aatrox, they have really nice base health, base attack speed, base armor, and base magic resist. So it really does help them fight against the typical bot lane and, you know, level 1 and onwards. So overall, I would say it is a disadvantage for the ADC matchup, but it really depends on, you know, as I said before, what support you have and things like that.
Yeah, it would really help if you were able to actually communicate, like, on, like, a chat or, you know, Ventrilo. What's the other one, the people in that team speak?
Discord?
Yeah, Discord. Oh, my God, I couldn't think of it. If you're actually talking to your support on Discord, because, man, if you're unable to, I mean, trying to piece through those weird matchups, it's kind of painful.
Yeah. Discord just really helps with, you know, just the simple sentence of, hey, can you walk here? Hey, can you block this? Right? Goes a long way. That could be the difference between a double kill or getting double killed in the early parts of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. For this upcoming patch, 8.12, what characters are going to be buffed?
Actually, a lot of buffs, nerfs, and hotfixes, but there's actually not that much if you categorize these changes into little sections. So the first section I really want to talk about is a champion being changed in relativity of other champions. By that, I mean champions that are not necessarily bad, but they're not as good as they should be because other champions in the same category as them are, you know, outperforming them. So a good example of the change would be Kindred, right? So Kindred is not necessarily that bad of a champion, but she's pretty much unseen in the meta right now for multiple patches just because there's a lot of junglers that do better than what she can do, even 2 times or 3 times is better. What Kindred makes so special is that she gets his stats from either champions that are marked or minions or epic monsters that are marked. But it's really hard to consistently stack these every game you play Kindred just because the targets are randomized, and also there is a cooldown for your stacks to be enabled. Because of that, Kindred has really been falling behind some sort of way, so this is why they're buffing Kindred. So they're upping her attack speed growth from 2.5 to 3.5, and they're buffing her bonus attack speed that she gets from her Q, and increase her damage from her E. So this essentially means that Kindred will now have a much more smoother and better mid-game, but it still doesn't tackle the fact that it's really hard for Kindred to get her stacks and really, you know, get a lead that way. So even if these buffs are actually extremely good, I don't feel like they will really help Kindred resurface and go back into the meta. The second example for the first category I just mentioned was Rumble, right? So Rumble is by no means bad at all. He's, you know, really decent pick into some matchups in the top lane, and he scales really well. But the problem is other bruisers such as Aurelia, Jax, champions like that just start outperforming him in the laning phase, right? They outmaneuver him. They do more base damage than him. So Rumble's been having a hard time. So in order to compensate this, Riot has increased some of his utility, such as his W. So the AP ratio has been increased by 10%, and his shield strength has also been increased. So this just means that he will have a much more easier early to mid game handling against those really overpowered bruisers. And his ultimate AP ratio and damage per second has also been increased, so his mid to late game won't be as bad for transition if he is falling behind. So those are two really nice changes, but overall, Kindred, I don't believe we'll see increased play, but Rumble, maybe. These changes are really nice. And the second category that I want to discuss is pretty much the supports, right? The shielding supports in particular, such as Janna, Karma, and Lulu. So what are these changes? So these changes are essentially a nerf to all shields that are most used in the game. So for example, the nerf to Janna, they made it so instead of her shield lasting full length for the full strength for 5 seconds, they made it so the shield strength is the same, but it decays over the 5 seconds. So this essentially means that if you want to block burst damage, let's just say an Orianna ulti or a Pyke ulti or, you know, a Caitlyn ulti, right? You'll still have the same effectiveness, but this just means that you can't just put on your shield for your AD carry and just let it be, right? It will decay over time and you won't be as effective. And same with Karma and Lulu, but more so Lulu more specifically is that her shield duration used to be 6 seconds, but now it's 2.5. And if you look at this, you don't necessarily think that it's that big of a change in initial glance. But if you think about how Lulu's shield works in comparison to Janna and Karma, is that Lulu's help picks actually adds DPS, more damage, onto whoever she shields. So when you decrease the duration of that, you're really decreasing her effectiveness as a support champion to, you know, help the ADCs do more damage, which is huge. These changes are very interesting. I believe they did these changes just because Riot addressed this earlier when Ardent Sensor was in the meta, that they really needed to change up how shields work in the game because they were so oppressive, and I'm guessing this is their way of tackling that.
I saw that Yorick got buffed, and I happen to like Yorick a lot, but it was his last right was buffed by, they shaved a quarter of a second off of his last rights move. Is that really a buff?
Even though it doesn't seem like a buff at first glance, just because, as you said, you know, it's a very, very low cooldown reduction reduce. If you think about it this way, just say for an example, they buffed Ezreal's Q, so his cooldown instead of, let's just say, 8 seconds was now 7 seconds. In comparison to, let's say, an ultimate cooldown reduction, you use Q pretty much all the time whenever it's up, if you can, in laning phase, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for Yorick, you want to use Q whenever you want to push, whenever you want to do trades with the enemy top laner. So these 1.25 seconds add up during the laning phase. So even though, you know, using it once may not seem that big of a deal, if you think of laning phase as, let's just say, all the way from 10 minutes to 15 minutes, those Qs that you use during the 10 minutes and 15 minutes stack up to, you know, it could be all the way from a 2-minute reduction overall. This change will actually help out Yorick a lot, but I don't think it will be that significant. But it is definitely a healthy change and buff to Yorick, and I'm glad to see, you know, where he's going to be at after this buff.
Now for items, are there any particular items that are getting buffed or nerfed or changed that sticks out for you?
Yeah, the most significant change that stuck out for me was Gwinsu's nerf. Essentially, they nerfed Gwinsu, not with any of his stats or anything, but they increased the overall completion cost of the item by, I believe, 200. So this means that when ADCs go from Gwinsu to their second item, Veil, it's the overall 500 or even 400 gold of a nerf. That means you need 400 to 500 more gold to complete your item spike, right? So this essentially means that you can't play as aggressive as you were before. You can't have more team fights than you did before just because you didn't reach the power spike as early as you did before. So this is an interesting change, but I honestly don't know how I feel about it just because the ADC changes made so crit champions were not that good compared to Gwynsuit using champions such as Kog'Maw, Varus, and Kai'Sa. And now that Gwynsuit is nerfed, ADCs are just really, really, really behind everyone else in the, you know, the power spikes and the teamfight capabilities. So I'm really worried about this change and see how it really implements the game afterwards. And some of the other changes that really caught my eye were the new item implements, right? The new items such as Spear of Sojin and Atmos Reckoning. Now, for all the OG League of Legends players out there, Atmos was actually a game that was in League of Legends, I believe, for Season 2 to Season 3, but it was removed because of some of the balance changes and things like that. But they re-added it, and it pretty much essentially gives tanks an alternative route to deal damage in teamfights while having to stack tank stats as well, right? So, for instance, champions like Cho'Gath, who have roughly around 5,000 health in the late game, will really make use of this item to help the team, you know, finish off targets or dish out more damage. I actually like this item. I think it will be very helpful for tanks to really catch up against bruisers because bruisers are so incredibly strong right now and no one's picking tanks. And the second item I want to discuss is Spear of Sojin. So this is a bit worrisome for me just because this item essentially helps bruisers survive all in dives, right? So usually when you would see an Irelia dive the backline, she will get one kill, maybe max two, but she'll be cut off and then, you know, you can move on through there. But with this item, now she has a higher percentage chance to, you know, kill one or two targets and survive that, which is scary just because bruisers can now just dive in and do whatever they want. So this item, I need to, you know, I think everyone needs to keep an eye out for this. Just because this can potentially break the meta into, you know, five bruisers. Even though it is an exaggeration, it just shows how strong of an item this is. And some of the other changes are just, in general, changes to the support items, right? And these are not necessarily saying, hey, these support items are strong. It's, you know, in correlation with the support nerf to shields. So they really want to cut down the effectiveness of shields. And these items help do that in the past. So they're, you know, going hand-to-hand with the shield nerfs and these item nerfs.
You know, with the way Riot is nerfing shield supports and now shield items and the introduction of Pyke, and the way he works is he's a kill-secure type of champion. Is Riot saying they want supports to do more damage than mitigate damage?
It definitely seems that way. The direction that all these changes are, they really want supports to be the damage-dealing-oriented, you know, niche. It's pretty hard to say until these patches hit how really effective these changes are. But in my opinion, no one's going to pick shield, you know, utility support champions anymore. They're probably most likely going to pick champions such as, you know, Brand, Misfortune support, or Pyke and Thresh and Blitz, just to get that initiative off because, you know, essentially they do more damage, they have better CC, and the one thing that they lacked was the shielding capability, but now that's, you know, mostly taken away from Janna, Karma, and Lulu, so we'll probably see a more uprising in supports that deal more damage.
Now for runes, are there going to be any rune changes?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two rune changes. First is Celerity, and second is Hail of Blade. To talk about Celerity, they essentially changed it so instead of getting the 3% movement speed right off the bat and it's just all around good across the board, they decreased the speed by 1.5, so it's bonus 1.5 now. However, they increased the adaptive AD and AP that you get from bonus movement speed. So this essentially means that, you know, the movement speed itself relatively stays the same, but it made Celerity, instead of an early to mid-game utility spike rune, they made it so it's more so of a late-game scaling type of rune, right? And champions that took Celerity are mostly mid laners, mobility junglers, and ADCs. So this essentially doesn't change that much. I believe that Celerity is still going to be picked for those type of champions, and it might even potentially do better in the late game as well. So I'm excited to see this change. The second change, I'm not really too sure about. So Halo Blade got buffed. So instead of 50 to 100% attack speed increase, they buffed it to 75 to 125. The reason why Halo Blades is not used at all is not because it's a bad rune, right? It's actually an incredibly nice rune to have for ADCs in particular, just because of the attack speed increase. But no one uses this because it's in the domination tree, right? Because in the domination tree, let's just say if an ADC picks Halo Blades, there's really not that many other runes you want to take for your, you know, your secondaries and whatnot that really help ADC shine. Because one of the trees is regards to vision, such as, you know, zombie ward or stacks when you get for kills, but those are necessarily not that impactful, and ADCs don't really care about that, right? All they care about is the attack speed, the damage, the AD, etc. And in the domination tree, the only really spec that you're interested in is Halo Blades and nothing else. People are like, why go Halo Blades if I can just go precision and get all the things I already want to do anyway? So it is a nice buff to Halo Blades, but I think in order to see more play and more, you know, use of Halo Blades, they might need to switch it up a little bit by maybe putting it in precision and putting one of the precision into domination, or maybe, you know, changing some of the specs for the domination tree so ADCs are more likely to take that route.
This is going to be the fun part. I want to pick your brain about specific champions, and this specific one for this particular episode, I want to talk about Teemo. And Teemo is one of those champions where you see him everywhere. He's top lane, he's mid, he can be AD, he can be support, he can jungle. But what do you think? Is Teemo AD or AP, or which is more viable?
You can build in both AP or AD or even hybrid, but I believe the best build is probably AP, or, you know, a little bit of AP and hybrid as well. Just because these shrooms do so much damage if you go full AP, and his dart you have to use anyway if you want to team fight or if you want to trade. So having that buffed up with your AP scaling is just probably the best route. In regards to the positions for Teemo, I think top is probably the best lane for Teemo, just because the lane is so long. Compared to, you know, jungle, support, or mid lane, the lanes are, you know, relatively short. So Teemo can't, you know, push that effectively. He can get punished and ganked easily. But, you know, in the top lane, he can have vision control with his shrooms. He has three bushes that he can stealth in and stealth out of, which is very useful. The lane is long, which means he can get away from ganks easier with his movement speed. So top lane Teemo is probably the best, and AP Teemo.
So being AP Teemo, what do you think would be like a standard rune spec for him?
You probably want to go Ares. Comet is a secondary choice, but Comet does less damage than Ares. Comet actually can be dodged if you have, you know, level 1 or level 2 boots, or if you take Celerity. Preferably Ares for the maximum amount of damage and poke.
Now, I want to know something. I've seen a lot of champions do something. On the first way back, the first teleport back, they'll end up buying, you know, a second Dorian's Ring. Is that something you should do with Teemo?
I believe it's very situational, actually. You know, sometimes if you're ahead, you want to buy certain items, and sometimes if you're behind, you want to buy certain items. But in Teemo's case, I believe that, you know, if you're either extremely ahead or extremely behind, the second Dorian's Ring actually does help Teemo a lot in the laning phase. Just because Teemo really wants to, you know, kite out during the pre-6 phase and really, you know, do a lot of skirmishes past 6. And the health from the Dorian's Ring and also, you know, the mana and the AP really helps Teemo shine. And the first item that Teemo gets is relatively expensive unless you want to rush Nash's too. So the Dorian's Ring really helps Teemo in the laning phase overall.
Teemo, obviously, he's ranged, and if you take him to top lane, most top laners are either tanks or, you know, bruisers. And at what point do you think Teemo should back off? Because it's very easy to kind of push the lane without trying. Is there a point like, hey, Teemo, at once he gets to level 6, he should just start putting mushrooms up and hide in the bush, or should there be a different strat?
Depends on the matchup and the cooldowns as well. The cooldowns are probably the most important. So let's just say you're facing against a Renekton, right? The two cooldowns you really want to look out for is his double dash and his W stun. So when you see him use or waste his dash or W on, let's just say, minions or getting away from you earlier, that's when you can look to push and really, you know, punish the enemy top laner. And since the enemy top laner doesn't have those essential cooldowns, even if you get ganked, the possibility of you dying from the gank is significantly lower, right? And on top of managing, you know, the cooldowns and everything, of course, after you hit six, you want to spam shrooms, right? And dip in and out of the bushes just to bait them into coming into your shrooms. But overall, knowing when to push and when not to push on Teemo, it really relies on the enemy's crucial cooldowns and your poison dart and your blinding dart cooldowns as well.
Now, you talk about cooldowns, but he's AP. So in the beginning, should you try to rush up to 40% cooldown, try to max that out first? Or should you try to, like even it out a little bit, AP items, a little bit cooldown reduction?
You can mix it up, actually, but I wouldn't recommend rushing CDR on Teemo just because he has such good scaling on his abilities, such as his Q, E, and ultimate. So you preferably do want to rush Liandry's or items like that that give you, you know, really nice survivability with the health and a lot of AP that can dish with your damage. And maybe, you know, after your second item, then you can look to go for cooldown reduction just because your shrooms are up that much faster and Teemo is pretty much all about the shrooms, right? So I would recommend rushing a full AP item, no cooldown on your first item, and then look for cooldown reduction later on.
Is there any fun way to spec Teemo? Because we're talking about almost full AP Teemo. Is there like a lifesteal Teemo or even a tank Teemo since he's top lane?
Teemo's Teemo, right? I think you can go almost any build on him and be relatively successful. So you can go, as you said, you can go lifesteal Teemo, you can go tank Teemo, whatever the player really wants to do, I think you can go.
Now, with that being said, like, Teemo seems pretty versatile. Do you think Teemo is an underutilized champion in, like, high-level gameplay?
I'm not sure if he's underutilized just because the reason why Teemo is not picked in solo queue a lot in high competitive play and also in, you know, the pro scene is because Teemo's range is so short, right? So even if you go tank Teemo or, you know, movement speed Teemo, lifesteal Teemo, full AP Teemo, it's really hard for Teemo to dish out the maximum amount of damage in teamfights without dying. So because of this, Teemo's essentially a bad pick and is not seen in the pro scene. And also, he doesn't have that much utility either.
All right. Those are all good reasons. It would be nice to see a Teemo in pro play. I'd love to see him in the hands of a professional, to be honest with you.
I mean, Teemo actually did come out, I believe, a few years ago in competitive play when TSM Reginald actually played Teemo.
I'll have to look that match up. I'm going to go look that up. It was TSM?
Yeah.
TSM Teemo, because it's just kind of nice to see, because there's 150 champions. It would be nice to see some things outside of, like, the normal pick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, James, I really appreciate you coming on. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
It's always fun talking with you, Mason. Thanks for having me. If you guys listening here want to find out more about, you know, League of Legends or what I do for a living, then feel free to check out InventGlobal.com. We have everything and anything you want about video games, about, you know, more specifically League of Legends.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.